Category, news. Title, opening of the port of Saint-Louis du Sud, a step towards port resilience and competitiveness in Haiti. February 7th, 2025, by Pierre Rossini-Jacques.
The facts. The official opening of the port of Saint-Louis du Sud took place on January 17, 2025, in the presence of numerous dignitaries, including the President of the Transitional Presidential Council, Mr. Leslie Voltaire, Mr. Jocelyn Villiers, Director of the National Port Authority, APN, and Ms. Anne Hodge, Vice President of the Port's Board of Directors. Ms. Hodge, a former USAID consultant in Haiti and former partner of the late agronomist Pierre Leger in the company Agri Supply & Company, has been, alongside him, a leading figure in the project since its inception more than 25 years ago. Nestled in Mesle Bay, connected to National Route 2 by an unpaved section of approximately 8 kilometers, the port is located 37 kilometers from Les Cayes, the country's third largest city, and about 15 kilometers from Cavaillon. Its infrastructure includes an administrative building housing public services, National Ports Authority, Samana, Customs, as well as a berth and a 50-meter-long by 20-meter-wide quay capable of accommodating vessels up to 150 meters in length with a draft of 12.5 meters. Aside from roll-on/roll-off ro-ro vessels, unloading is currently done using ship cranes due to the lack of a quay crane. Surrounding areas of up to 4 hectares can be converted into handling and storage spaces. The port expects to receive between 2 and 5 vessels per month. This achievement is largely the result of a partnership with private investors, whose patience Ms. Hauge expressed her gratitude for the long wait before their investment began to materialize. The project also aligns with a vision of opening up the Southern Peninsula, at a time when insecurity is jeopardizing free movement on National Route No. 2, the region's only land link to Port-au-Prince and the rest of the country. Brief history. The project for an international port in Saint-Louis du Sud dates back to 1996. A 2000 interview with Ms. Hauge described this project as part of a much more ambitious vision, including an international port, an airport, telecommunications, electricity, roads, and drinking water for the peninsula. A limited company was established to secure financing from potential private shareholders. The Scandinavian engineering firm Rambol was selected to conduct the feasibility study, and the east shore of the large Baie du Mail was chosen as the best location. It was only in 2007 that the project was approved by the Interministerial Commission following the agreement on its tax regime with the Ministry of Commerce, as well as the signing of the lease with the DGI for the territories occupied by the port, including the 8 kilometers of access road. An environmental impact study was conducted at the end of 2014, and the proposal for the port's construction was approved by the National People's Assembly. Construction, which began in February 2014, was completed in June 2016, although the wharf required repairs after Hurricane Matthew struck in October 2016. The port was used on several occasions before its official opening, notably in 2016 for transporting equipment for the National Economic Center, CNE, and in 2022 to receive cargoes primarily of humanitarian aid. Today, after more than 25 years of effort, the official opening marks the final agreement between the Haitian government and the Port Authority for the operation of this infrastructure, which also benefits from an ISPS security plan, allowing it to receive foreign vessels. The opportunity. The opportunity that the opening of the port of Saint-Louis du Sud represents for the peninsula and for the resilience of the Haitian port network cannot be overstated. The recent visit of Colombian President Gustavo Petro to Jacmel, along with the signing of cooperation agreements with that country, paves the way for greater diversification of Colombia's trading partners. The port will also contribute to the growth of economic and port activity on this peninsula, located just 2 days' sail from Colombian ports such as Barranquilla, Santa Marta, and Cartagena. The potential for developing an agro-industrial hub in the south also represents a major opportunity for this port, located near the Cavaillon region, renowned for its vetiver production, a highly prized ingredient internationally in perfume manufacturing. Other southern products such as coffee, cocoa, and bananas could also find a coastal shipping or export port, provided new markets are developed. This is an opportunity to develop close cooperation between employers and entrepreneurs, universities and vocational training centers to develop local skills capable of meeting the needs of agricultural, industrial, port, and service growth in this region. Many stakeholders in the South have already expressed their eagerness for the upcoming opening of a southern airport, as well as the Institute for Maritime Professions Training. Regarding the latter, it's worth noting that Samana signed a financing agreement with the Caribbean Development Bank in 2021 for the structural and architectural studies of its planned building in Cabaret. Now what? While there is widespread enthusiasm for the opening of the Port of St. Louis, we mustn't lose sight of what it represents in the territorial, national, and regional context. St. Louis is neither the first nor the only port on the Southern Peninsula. There are also ports in Jérémy, Jacmel, Miragouane, and Les Cayes. It is true that among these, St. Louis is the only privately owned port and also the deepest. But even amidst legitimate enthusiasm, we must also be careful that this port does not become just another piece of a still underexploited port ecosystem, operating well below its potential and that of other ports in the region. Not forgetting the earthquake of January 12, 2010, the challenges that have hampered the competitiveness of Haitian ports predate the recent paralysis caused by insecurity. Therefore, in this section, we will mention some strategic challenges that will need to be overcome to unlock the potential not only of the Port of St. Louis, but also of the Haitian port sector. Workforce training. Education is at the heart of all development. The quality of Haiti's maritime and port sector depends on the skills of maritime personnel at the basic, technical, professional, university, and research levels. Training port personnel, dock workers, stevedores, handlers, etc., will determine port efficiency and the prevention of workplace accidents. Training managers and supervisors will ensure effective planning, while training business personnel will foster the development of local and international trade relations. Synergistic work between economic actors, ports, logistics agents, chambers of commerce, and academics, universities and vocational centers, ad hoc training agencies, research institutes, is essential to develop the skills needed for the sector. Otherwise, all growth and expansion will be jeopardized. Education and training are also central to the diversification of port services. Ships arriving at our ports often require a variety of services, including refueling, delivery of supplies and spare parts, various inspections, and sometimes repairs. The larger the pool of related maritime skills becomes, the more companies and SMEs capable of meeting these needs and capturing a share of regional maritime traffic will be established and developed. Building trust. One of the most positive aspects is that the Port of St. Louis is the result of contributions from several private investors. The challenge will be to demonstrate its profitability, an essential condition for securing financing for any expansion or development project. The same applies to the development of the port sector as a whole. The key to this development is trust. It's about fostering confidence within the business community, investors, users, operators, and other stakeholders that every dollar invested in a project or contract will deliver a benefit in the form of return on investment or efficiency savings. To date, the only other ongoing port project is the strengthening of infrastructure and operations at the port of Cap Haitien, funded by USAID. In the absence of a fiscal surplus, the Haitian government will have to draw on a financing portfolio that includes, in addition to development aid, public-private partnerships, and local or international debt. Trust is crucial in both cases. Operator and user confidence is linked to port competitiveness. Three words stand out here: capacity, efficiency, and connectivity. Capacity is not limited to larger facilities, quays, container yards, storage areas, consolidation and deconsolidation, etc. It depends heavily on the processing and handling efficiency mentioned above. Locally, connectivity is facilitated by road links. Internationally, it involves expanding the hinterland of Haitian ports, the consumers they serve, by opening new markets and positioning them as preferred transshipment ports in the Caribbean. Among the most competitive in the region, the following should be mentioned. 7. Kingston, Jamaica. 1.995 million TEU per year. 8. Caicedo, Dominican Republic. 1.488 million TEU per year. Freeport, Bahamas. 1,215 million TEU per year. Point Lisas, Trinidad and Tobago, 227.9,000 TEU per year. As long as ships calling at a Haitian port cannot have clear expectations regarding their berthing, loading, or unloading window. As long as the time and costs of customs clearance cannot be unambiguously predicted. As long as procedures remain vague or leave room for informal intermediaries. And as long as procurement is not made transparent and open to competition from local SMEs, the Haitian port sector will remain behind at the regional and even international level. Several key measures can help to revitalize the port sector in this respect. Customs transparency. In the globalized environment of international trade, one of the competitive advantages of ports is the speed and ease with which they allow information processing. No other aspect is as crucial in this regard as customs operations. From the 1960s onwards, electronic data exchange, EDI, systems played a crucial role in port competitiveness, allowing the exchange of information and forms for the passage of goods through customs in advance. The General Administration of Customs announced on its website the Cydonia system, a modular program developed by UNCTAD that allows for the creation of a program tailored to each country's customs regime. This system aims to streamline customs processing and reduce the influence of informal intermediaries on the clearance process. We need to aim for a system where port users can unambiguously predict the time, costs, and conditions for clearing their goods through customs. The establishment of transparent, technology-supported customs procedures will be crucial when launching transshipment port or free zone projects, such as Colon in Panama or Caicedo in the Dominican Republic. Operational efficiency. Similarly, operational efficiency, the speed and predictability with which a port handles its goods, is crucial to port competitiveness. This depends not only on equipment, service areas, cranes, top loaders, etc., but also on sound process planning, consolidation, deconsolidation, transfer, warehousing, etc., and the competence of the staff. In addition to electronic information transfer, port management systems, procedures, service standards, and operational planning are fundamental. Data collection, enabling managers to assess performance, make evidence-based decisions, and optimize facility efficiency, will be crucial. Promoting the formation and competition between local SMEs to provide services subcontracted by the port, such as towing, stevedoring, mooring, trucking, customs agents, and other ship services, will increase the productivity of services through competition among local businesses. Securing the supply chain. Directly related to customs transparency is securing the logistics chain, meaning all parties involved in the transfer of goods from the sender to the receiver, ports, importers/exporters, truckers, agents, freight forwarders, etc. A system of inspections and audits must be established throughout this chain to ensure that only authorized operators are involved. This includes developing service standards, security investigations, and financial records. In return, parties importing, exporting, or transshipping in Haiti will have the confidence that their goods are being handled by reliable logistics agents. Again, this confidence is itself a competitive advantage. This is the logic of the American CTPA T11 system, or of the Authorized Economic Operators, AEO, of the European Union. Furthermore, the development of this standard will make it possible to conclude, with these economic blocks and many others, mutual recognition agreements MRA, 12 DAS, allowing priority processing of goods coming from or going to Haiti. Conclusion. The biggest construction project, the opening of the port of Saint-Louis-du-Sud, comes as a breath of fresh air at a time when Haiti is experiencing an unprecedented socio-economic, political, and security crisis. The initiators of this project, as well as the investors who contributed to it, deserve to be commended and emulated. Furthermore, it is essential to create conditions of trust to attract even more investors, corporate, national, international, diaspora, etc., to finance large-scale projects in Haiti. However, it is crucial to remember that to make any infrastructure profitable and open new markets, the human and organizational conditions necessary to capitalize on new opportunities must be created. Education and training for maritime personnel at the basic, technical, professional, university, and research levels is therefore vital. Synergy between economic and educational stakeholders must be encouraged to develop a pool of skilled personnel capable of meeting the port sector's needs. Furthermore, in a port and trade environment made competitive by globalization, it is essential to focus on technology and transparent customs procedures, electronic information exchange, and efficient port operations. These are facilitated by appropriate management systems, data collection and access, and the competitive participation of SMS in various port services. These changes at the heart of the port system will bring reliability and confidence, fostering the development of regionally competitive transshipment ports and free trade zones.
Establishing these conditions is up to us, Haitians, in our collective efforts to transform the national economy.